Welcome to another inspiring message from Pastor David Hall, Senior Pastor of Life Point Church. For more information, visit our website on www.davidhall.com.au.
And I don't know about you, but I believe in the present day ministry of the Holy Spirit. I believe that the Holy Spirit is now, and he wants to touch us now, minister to us now, minister through us now. And I want to have a look, the book of Acts chapter 1, and I know you've all read that, but I want to deal with a principle in this, and then I want to show you something else that I really do believe that God is going to help us to understand today. It says in Acts chapter 1 verse 4, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Somebody say baptized. Baptized. Baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. "Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive" what? You shall receive?
Power.
It's on the screens. You're cheating. You're cheating. "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost or the Holy, when the Holy Spirit," I'm going King James, I can't help it with that scripture. "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And it goes on to say in verse 14, basically they followed his prompting, and it says, "These all continued in one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." And it goes on in these days, it goes on to tell us, "In those days, Peter stood up in their midst. Although the number and the names were about 120, he said, men and brethren, this scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus." And it goes on to say, "For he was numbered with us and obtained a part in this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the wages of iniquity, and falling headlong, burst open in the middle. All of his entrails gushed out." Good morning for everyone today. And so it goes on. They selected another person to fulfill that role. And this was happening while they were waiting for the Holy Spirit in a place called the upper room. Somebody say the upper room. And you'll find in verse 13, it lists some of the people that were in the upper room. It says they went up into the upper room and they were saying Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas, the son of James. And it says they continued in one accord in supplication. And it says in verse 1 of Acts chapter 2, I want you to turn there today. It says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come." Aren't you glad the day of Pentecost has fully come? They were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly, somebody say suddenly. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Let me say this, I love the suddenlies of God. I love the fact that God bursts into the Bible in so many different places. Suddenly, out of nowhere, you'll see God just interrupt a situation with a suddenly. Paul and Silas are in prison. The Bible says it was at midnight, they were chained and they'd been beaten in stocks. And the Bible says at midnight, they were singing hymns and praising God. And it says suddenly, somebody say suddenly. Suddenly, there was an earthquake. There's a woman with the issue of blood who touched the hem of the garment of Jesus. She said within herself that if I may touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. One translation says, as she touched the hem of his garment, suddenly the bleeding stopped and she was made whole. I want to tell you what Australia needs, what the body of Christ needs, what this church needs, what you need. Every now and then is a good old suddenly from God, where you're sick in your body and suddenly, Marie, there's a miracle from God that changes your heart and changes your lungs and brings healing. I don't know about you, but the God I serve isn't dead and locked up in some garden tomb near Jerusalem, but the God that I serve is alive and seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And he says, "I won't leave you comfortless," he said, "but I will send my Spirit. I'll send a comforter, a paraclete, one who comes alongside to help, and he'll guide you into all truth. He'll show you things to come." I don't know about you, but today on Pentecost Sunday, we're not celebrating a different standing other Sunday, but we are affirming our statement of faith, and we're delighting in the goodness of God that He so loved us that He sent the Holy Ghost. The best the devil can do is possess you with a demon. But God doesn't say, you know what, the best I can do is possess you with an angel. He said, I died, I've been washed, I died for you, I shed my blood for you. I'm not going to fill you with some angel. I'm going to fill you with myself. I'm going to fill you with the Holy Spirit of God. Come on, if you believe it, give God a praise. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 verse 5, He said, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. When I haven't even got past verse 3. He says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them divided tongues of fire. One sat upon each of them. And let me tell you, you've got to look at this, underline it, scratch it into your Bible, get a tattoo that says it or whatever. It says, and they were all filled. Somebody say, all filled. Can I tell you, the first time we see a release of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. I love that it's just the beginning. They began. The Spirit of God begins something on the inside of you. Maybe you feel like you've hit the end of your run. Let me tell you, let the Holy Ghost ignite a fire to begin something in your spirit so you can start again and have a go for the kingdom of God. You shall receive power. That word power, dunamis, divine supernatural enabling. And I love this. And we preach this. We talk about this. We believe this. Yeah. This is what we believe. We believe it. And so today, I guess I want to set it up and just explain a couple of things. And then I want to show you what I really feel the Lord's given me this morning. And the first thing that I want to say is that there are two different words in Scripture interchangeably that are used as the Greek word for baptism. There are two. One is baptizo and one is bapto. They're very similar words, but there's quite a difference, which was brought out in early Greek writing, that if you were to make a pickle, which is a cucumber that becomes a pickle, There's a process. The first thing you do is you get that pickle. Some of you are going to leave this place thoroughly pickled this morning. You get that pickle. You get that cucumber, Pastor Wendy. You know what I'm talking about. You get that cucumber, bless God, and you dip that cucumber in hot water and it blanches it. You dip it. You bapto it. In, blanch, out. You get the cucumber after it's been blanched in hot water, or if you're from SA, blanched, after you've blanched it, and that's where I'm from. Once you blanch it, you then, that's bapto, you get the same cucumber that's been blanched, and you get it in some vinegar, salty broth thing that you make, and you get as many cucumbers. I feel the anointing on this morning. You get as many cucumbers as you can in that big old jar, and you fill that thing up. You seal it. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit from the day of redemption. I'll have you know. You seal that thing. And as that cucumber sits in that jar of vinegar, after a long season, not only does it get bapto-dipped, but it stays in there and it becomes... Woo! Jesus, man. Sorry about this. It becomes Rusha Kamplanda. That's what happens. It's a lot easier to do than you, harder to do than you might think. The pickle, the cucumber, I should say, takes on a totally different chemical structure because it's been saturated. The problem is a lot of us think the baptism's a dip. We need to understand the difference between a dip and a saturation. Where who we are changes, where who you and I changes because of the saturation of God Himself. And so the longer we're pickled, we should come out looking like Jesus, talking like Jesus, doing the things that Jesus did. You know why we're not seeing the miracles? Maybe we're not pickled enough. Some people are trying to write all these doctrines to accommodate our failure. Why don't we just get pickled so the power of God flows through us from our head to our toe? When you get drunk, the expression is you're totally pickled. You're thoroughly pickled. Why? Because another substance has hijacked who you are and you take on a different nature. And that's why Peter says, these are not drunk as you suppose. When they got filled with the Holy Spirit in that upper room on the day of Pentecost, people said they were drunk. And they were drunk because they were intoxicated, they were saturated, and they became different, and they talked different, they walked different. You know, the Bible says here in the book of Acts chapter 2 that even the people of Crete, the Cretans, were speaking the wonderful works of God. The Bible tells us in the book of Titus that the entire race of Cretans were gluttonous liars, the Bible says. Even the gluttonous liars. And it says all they do is tell lies. Even them got so filled with the Spirit that out of a lying mouth, out of a bitter fountain, started to flow a different stream. Why? The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if their mouths are speaking something different, there was a transformation on the inside of them. Why? Because they weren't dipped, they were saturated. And you know, as a church, we need to be a people that are saturated. Do you know, the funny thing is, maybe you're sitting here today and you don't know what I'm talking about. We're going to pray for you to get saturated today. But I want to say this, some of you are sitting here and you've got that look on your face. It's a bit glazed over now. Like, I know exactly what it is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Some of you go, I don't know. But this is what I want to talk to you about, because we're good at believing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. But I want to show you something that's so important. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, I want you to turn there because I want to go through these scriptures with you this morning. Ooh, bless God. Can I tell you, how can you preach this stuff and not have a smile on your face? How can you believe this stuff? And not, I mean, how can you not believe this stuff? I mean, some people fight about this. They do conferences on why this is wrong. But it's in the Bible. Everything I've said, I've read, except for the pickle bit. I added that. There's the word of the Lord to you all today. Be thoroughly pickled and Merry Christmas. Paul says this, verse 15 of Ephesians 5. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Yeah. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing, making melody to the Lord. Melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to each other in the fear of God. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. You've got to understand this is one book. The Bible's one book. It's been broken down with a few different contributors, but ultimately it's written by one person, the Holy Spirit. So when Paul's writing this, he's writing to a people, and he's saying to them, you're doing this, but he's drawing a contrast because he knows the drunkenness that was told of in Acts chapter 2. By Peter. And he says there's an anointing, there's a presence, there's a power that you can walk in if you dare to believe God. And he'll fill you where you don't need the things of this world. You don't need to have the stuff that the world brings, but you can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit in your heart and in your life. You might be sitting here right now today and you've got no hope. Can I tell you, get saturated in the presence of God. Let his anointing come on you. But he says this, he gives two commands here. And the original word where it says here, he says, be filled with the Spirit. And a lot of you would know this. But where he says, be filled with the Spirit, is a word that has two meanings. It's a command, firstly. It's not a suggestion. He's quite careful. He's saying, walk this way, do that. Be filled with the Spirit. So the Apostle Paul commands the people on behalf of God. That's an imperative. It's a command. He says, be filled with the Spirit. So that is a word from God to the people of God today. Be filled with the Spirit. Some of us, we sort of go, okay, but he says, be filled. But this word filled It's also an interesting word because there is a plurality in it. It's a command with a plurality that means be filled, but stay filled, a perpetual in filling. Be the best way to translate that is, if you're going to go old school King James, be ye continually being filled. So in other words, live in a perpetual place of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Some people say you need your upper room experience and then hit the road, Jack. Don't come back no more, no more, no more, no more. But here's the deal. Some people, I think they don't understand the difference. And I'm maybe talking to people here today between having been filled with the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to live a life where I can say, yeah, I got dipped. I'm now flying first class spiritually to heaven because I'm Pentecostal. So I get I'm a bit more spiritual and all of that. That's not how we should look at this. We should understand that baptism in the Holy Spirit is not a one-off boom. Now, there is that one-off moment where you get filled with the Holy Ghost and you know you've been filled. You know it changes your life. And it's beautiful. It's the most beautiful thing that can happen other than bowing your knee to Jesus and getting saved. It's beautiful. Man, I'm getting excited about that. But the truth is, you can live in the beauty of that every day of your life. You say, David, do you do that? Not perfectly well. We all mess up, but do you know we can live in the power of the Holy Ghost? Wigglesworth did. He said, I never pray longer than 15 minutes, but I never go 15 minutes without praying. That uninterrupted fellowship with the divine, the presence of heaven. And you know, as a church, I think we've got to be careful not to get so safe that the Holy Spirit moves on our terms. Because what I've found is when we start trying to get Him to move on our terms, there's a lot of terms and there's not a lot of movement. I want the Holy Spirit moving in this building. I want people to walk through this door and encounter God and know that God's real, know that God's alive. I want it's more important to me than how good our stage looks or how nice our building is or the renovations that we're doing or all the little things or who's doing what on stage or who's leading the singing this morning or whatever the case may be. The most important thing that can happen in this room is for people to walk in here and feel and experience the power of God. If you believe that, can you give God praise? If you jump over, he says, being continually filled. Let's have a look at Acts chapter 12. I want to show you a story. It's a great story. The Bible says that Peter was in prison. Acts 12, verse 5. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to him by the church. Now, it's important that you know where these people were praying. They were praying at the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark. The majority of theologians will tell you that the upper room was also the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark. So Peter is in prison, and he's decided that he gets released supernaturally. It goes on to say Herod was about to bring him out, verse 6. That night, Peter was sleeping bound between two chains, between two soldiers and the guards. The door were keeping, before the door, I'm reading well today, before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly," and the chains fell off his hand. Then the angel said to him, "Gird yourself, tie on your sandals." So he did. "Put on your garment and follow me." And he went out and followed him, did not know what was done by the angel, but thought he was seeing, sorry, did not know what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. Can I tell you, that's how good God can be. Some of you go, "This is too good to be true. You're just too good to be true." Can I tell you something? That's the nature of God. And sometimes we sort of think God hates us, he's mad at us, he wants our life to stink, he wants us to prove something. Do you know something? The only thing that got proven was when Jesus won the battle at Calvary 2,000 years ago. The case was settled. We'll never be good enough for him. The only goodness he sees is the goodness of himself on the inside of us. And so we just follow God and love him. And you know, he wants to astound you with goodness and mercy. And it goes on to say here, when they were past the first and second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain the Lord has sent his angel and delivered me from the hand of Herod, from all the expectation at the Jewish people, when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered for prayer. Verse 13, as Peter prayed, he knocked at the door of the gate. A girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she didn't open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood at the gate. And they said to her, you're beside yourself. Yet she kept insisting that it was so. And then they're saying, well, no, it's his angel. Meanwhile, Peter's still knocking. Can I tell you, we got to be careful not to be like her, who announced that a move of God's coming and then goes straight back inside and just reason about what that's going to look like. Rather, just open the gate and say, come in. And I feel like Rhoda wasn't wrong, but Rhoda did the wrong thing because she didn't let the move of God in. She just talked about the move of God. And us Pentecostals are so good at standing around having a talk about a move of God. Is it a move of God? Is this the promises of God? Is this what we're believing for? Is this the revival? Oh, it's at the gate. Man, I can hear revival knocking. Oh, it might not be revival. It might be a renewal. I don't know. What do we call? And we sit inside discussing it in our holy huddle rather than opening the door and saying, Holy Ghost, have your way. Holy Spirit of God, come. Holy Spirit, have your way. Touch our church, move by your spirit and by your power. What I love is that Peter went through an incredible hell and an incredible victory. And the place that he knew to go back to was a place of a God encounter. It was a place where the fire of God had come on him. Can I tell you, as a church, where do we go in tough times? We go back to the upper room. Where do we go? We go to the place of visitation. Except visitation is the wrong word. Let's say habitation. Because people miss their time of visitation. But the beautiful thing is, if we miss our time of visitation, that's law. That's a different dispensation. Right now, we don't miss our time of visitation. We experience a time of habitation where he comes and abides on the inside of us and upon us and within us and around about us. Because the Holy Spirit is with us. Yes. And my word to you today is simply this. The title of my message, which I'm giving at the end of my message, is come back to the upper room. Come back to the place of encounter. Jesus was 12 and they go on a holiday. And 2 days after the holiday, Mary and Joseph have left. And they realize we've lost Jesus. Where's Jesus? You know where he was? Where they had left him. And you know, we need to come back to the place that we left Jesus. I mean, some of us, it's been a while between a touch from God. Come back to the place where you know that his presence is. Come back to the place where you know his power is and his anointing is and his grace is. Today, I want to talk to people that might be dry here today. Maybe if Samunga can come. And I want to talk to people that may need a fresh touch from God today. Maybe some of you have been doing church for so long and in church and maybe God's knocking at the door of the gate of your spiritual life and you're like, you know God's there, but you need to let him in and come to the waters and drink and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be touched. Let me talk to people because we've got some people here today that if we pray for them, they'll fall to the ground like a sack of potatoes. And they're gone, filled with the Holy Ghost. But then there's people here, you might have come to church here for a while. And you're like, you just sort of feeling your way in. It's sort of, I'm open to things of God, I'm hungry for the things of God, but I guess I don't fully know what it is to receive. The Bible says to draw with joy from the wells of salvation. How do you draw with your spiritual bucket? Some of you don't even know you've got a bucket, a container to contain the presence of God. Some of you might say, well, there's a hole in my bucket, and well, someone stole your bucket. I don't know what happened, but here's the deal. God says, I want you to draw with joy and be filled. What does that look like? That today looks like us praying for you and believing God for the presence and the power of God to flow like a river and touch hearts and touch lives in this place. And today you might be in this room and you'd say, David, I'm hungry. Maybe it's been a while since you've had a God encounter. Maybe you need a fresh touch from the Holy Spirit. You need a fresh anointing from heaven. You know, I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you've been through, but what I do know is that the Holy Spirit's here and he's a one-size-fits-all God. So you might be walking through the valley of the shadow of death today. God will meet you there. In fact, he says, I'll prepare a table for you. Your cup will overflow. He'll fill you in the tough places. You might be in a great place. You might be like, yeah, man, I'm pumped. All glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Everything's wonderful. Fantastic. Let him in. Let him fill you. Let him touch you. We're going to close the service in a moment. We've got a little bit of time. I'll preach short because I want to minister to people today. I just ask every person in this house to stand. Jesus. Maybe Kate, if you can grab a mic and just... Jesus' name. Spirit of God. Spirit of God. Can we lift our hands, church? Can we press in? Just let His anointing come. Let His anointing come and fill you right now with the power of God. Let His anointing just come. Let His anointing just wash over you. Let His presence fill you right now. Let the touch of His hand come. Let's just make a bit of room for the Spirit of God. There it is right now. That's the power of God just falling here today. It's the power of the Spirit. Jesus. Jesus. Liberty and freedom comes. It's the anointing of God. The touch. The touch. The touch. See, the anointing's tangible. You can feel. You can feel the anointing. You can feel the anointing of God. When His power comes and brings change and brings deliverance and brings joy. Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, we worship Your name, God. Jesus, we worship Your name, oh God. Breathe on me. Breathe.